Romans 8, verse 15. 2:18. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for everything that you gave us. And we thank you for everything that you didn't allow us to have, which is your protection. Father, none of us are worthy to be saved. None of us are worthy to be here. None of us are worthy to serve you, Lord. We know that. But only and only by your grace, we are saved and we are here. And we pray that we serve you, Lord. No one else. Father, we pray that you allow us to understand your word deeper and better, and not only be hearers, but doers of your word. Father, I don't want to preach because I don't know how to preach. We are not here to hear from Yasin. We don't need Yasin. We need you, Lord. Please, you preach. And you give us understanding of your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Romans 8 is my go-to chapter for a lot of things. Romans 8. I had another message to preach for today. I was planning to preach a completely different message. But this morning, I was praying, Lord, if it's your will, I will preach about that message. And after that, I was going through my messages on Telegram. And now I'm sure that it was God's planning for today's message that I opened Telegram right after that to check about my brothers and sisters inside Iran. As you know, it's been 2 weeks now. The internet is off in Iran, and we don't know what's their situation inside. And as you know, we have a couple of brothers and sisters attending Gospel Farsi Zoom meeting every week. I was checking my messages, and I didn't hear anything from them. So I was going back and reading the last messages to every one of them, that what we were talking back and forth. One of our sisters in Iran, the last message she sent me, it was 2 weeks ago, and she was complaining about, because she was outside, she was bitten by the police of Iran, and she messaged me, Pastor Yasin, pray for me. And I sent these verses, Romans 8, 15 to 18, that we don't have the spirit of bondage again to fear. And her response was one amen and one praying emoji. That's it. And after that, I didn't hear anything from her. It was heavy for me that after 2 weeks, I don't know anything about her or my other brothers and sisters from Iran. So I decided to read and study these verses deeper and to find the connections between the key words within these three verses. And now I have a great message to deliver that I'm not able to without the Holy Spirit. So I was praying and I am praying, and please pray for this message that not me, but only the Holy Spirit deliver this message to us. Because this is a very good journey in the Bible that I have many verses to share with you to show you what the Word of God tells us. I like to read these three verses one more time, and then from there we go word by word. Romans 8:15-18. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness without our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. First, when it says the spirit of bondage in verse 15, the spirit of bondage, the spirit of bondage is connected with sin and death. Bondage, not free, being slave to something. Keep Romans 8. But turn to John 8. Verse 31-34. John 8:31-34. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye made disciples indeed. And very famous verse, John 8:32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 33. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So bondage is connected to sin, being servant to sin. How we can be free? If we know the truth, and truth will set us free, will make us free. Let's go back to Romans 8. So we learn that when it says the spirit of bondage is connected to death, to sin. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So fear is connected to the spirit of bondage. Who has the spirit of bondage shall fear. But we don't have the spirit of bondage, so we don't fear. Who fears? Who is not, who who doesn't have the spirit of bondage, basically the dweller of this world, fears of everything. Sinners. Let's turn to Revelation 21. Let's turn to Revelation 21, chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So all those things that is listed here is the situation of the world's dwellers. But the first one is fearful. Why the fearful is the first one? Because everything started with fear. That was the first feeling after the fall of man. He was scared. Adam was fearful right after falling. And everything starts with that. Who doesn't believe, it says, but the fearful and unbelieving. Why people don't believe this word? Because they fear to open this and read it. And the abominable and murderers. Why people kill others? Because they fear. Same as Cain. And whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So fear is connected to sin, is connected to death. Now again, let's go back to Romans 8. 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. This one is a different spirit, and the S is capital. Spirit of adoption, which is the spirit of God, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So by the power of Holy Spirit, we can talk to the Father directly. And we can call God, the Creator, our Father. I'm coming from Middle East. And I guess in the Middle East, as same as many other cultures, Father is very important. Fathers have a very important role in people's life. And I never even heard or thought of calling God the Father before opening this book. This is the only place that teaches us we can call our Creator, our Father, Abba. And it's only through the spirit of adoption, which is the spirit of God. Verse 16, the spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Children of God are saved people. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God. Heirs of God are saved people. And joint heirs with Christ. Joint heirs with Christ are saved people. If so be that we suffer with him, which is his death on the cross and his burial, we suffer with him every time when someone get baptized, he or she is showing a picture that he or she was died on the cross with Christ, and he was buried with him. That's a picture when someone gets baptized. So if so be that we suffer with him, meaning on his death on the cross and burial, that we may be also glorified together. And when it says together, meaning with him, together with him, and that is his resurrection and his kingdom. So if we claim that I died with him on the cross and I was buried with him, so I resurrected with him, and I am, or we are, joint heirs with Christ in his kingdom. Verse 18, for I reckon. The word reckon, I know it's an old English word, but still, I guess Southern people use that. Reckon comes from a word from Greek, if I can pronounce that. Logizomahi, that is how it pronounced. And it means conclude, count off, reason. I reckon means conclude, count off, reason. Logizomahi in Greek. And here, when it says reason, count of, it's something proven, which is the word of God. I reckon means the word of God. Something that the author concluded, counted on. The reason of everything he's saying. He's sure about what he's saying. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time, suffering of this present time is this world situation now and any other time in the past or future. This world is boiling with many, many problems. The sufferings of this present time, the author is not ignoring that this world has many sufferings. He's not saying this world is beautiful and very good, there is no problem. It's written that there is many problems and sufferings in this present time, but are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So this is the promise that if this world has many sufferings for us, many problems, but everything is not comparable with the glory which shall be revealed in us as body of God, as church. So the glory which shall be revealed in us is the glorified body, which is promised to us from the word of God. Let's turn to Philippians 3:21 to read about the glorified body. Philippians 3:21. It's the last verse of Philippians chapter 3. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself? First, pay attention to the part it says, like unto his glorious body. Like unto his glorious body. We don't believe that the little God's doctrine, we don't believe on that. We won't turn to little gods. We will receive body like unto Jesus' body. So we won't turn to gods. That's why it says, like unto his glorious body. But he will give us a body like his glorious body when we see him. According to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. So we will be obedient to him, and we don't have to fight our flesh anymore to be obedient to him, because we will receive his power directly, and he will turn us, he change us completely. And he will give us a body that I don't need to fight every day and every moment. Basically, there won't be an old nature anymore. It will be all new. So this is the promise, and we will receive a body not like this, which is exactly like unto his body. But are you ready for a Bible journey with me? Go through many verses from now. Let's turn to John 15. John chapter 20, verse 15. This is Jesus after resurrection, when Mary saw Jesus. Only one verse, John 20, 15. Jesus said unto her, "Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, "Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away." Why we are reading this verse? You remember Philippians 3:21. We learn that Jesus will give us a body like unto his glorious body. And this is after the resurrection. So Jesus has his resurrected glorious body, glorified body. And Mary thought that he is the gardener. And when I was reading that and studying that, I was thinking, why, out of all the jobs or fashions, she thought that he is the gardener. Let's open Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. Genesis chapter 2 is in the Garden of Eden, when there wasn't any sin there before the fall of man. Genesis chapter 2, verse 8. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So the Lord God planted a garden. This is when there wasn't any sin, when there wasn't any pain, when there wasn't any suffering. It was a different world, different everything. When everything was so beautiful, the Lord God planted a garden. And a garden needs a gardener. Let's read verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. To dress it and to keep it. The first gardener was Adam. When everything was so beautiful, God created everything so perfect and gave everything to Adam. And within the perfect creation, God planted a garden and put Adam in that garden as the gardener who's in charge, who can keep and dress that garden. So we read about Adam, the first gardener. And right after that, the next verse, we read about the first command to the first gardener. Verse 16, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. This is the first command ever to man. We know what happens after that. Man disobedient God, and he fell, and we are here. That's why in Romans 8, verse 18, it talks about the sufferings of this world, the sufferings of this present time. Romans 8, 18. But God's promise is great. God is faithful to his promises. Even in this present time, in this world, which there is many suffering, which there are many problems, God gives us promise that he will give us a glorified body, that we will be able to see him, not in this weak and sinful body. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. What happened right after when God put Adam in the Garden of Eden as the gardener? He gave him command. He commanded him to keep that garden pure and sinful. When Mary saw Jesus after his resurrection, she saw Jesus and she thought he is gardener. And what comes after that? The Great Commission. So he commanded the first gardener with a command. And when he resurrected, right after that, he commanded his church. Let's turn to Matthew 28. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to be observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So here is the full circle. In the Garden of Eden, God created everything perfect, and within that creation, he planted a garden so perfect and beautiful, and he put Adam as the gardener, as the boss, as the person in charge who can keep and make it clean and keep it clean And he commanded Adam. It didn't go well because Adam chose wrong. But when Jesus came and saved us and gave his life for us, Mary saw Jesus and she thought he is the gardener. And then we hear the same command. Keep my word. Give it to others. Share it with others. Teach them. And same, if your father Adam kept my word, he could live with me. I wanted to stay with him. But now, if you keep my word, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. It's very simple. Clear. This is not complicated at all. It's the full cycle of everything. He is making us like the gardener. He gave us a field to serve. This world is not like the Garden of Eden. There is nothing perfect here. But the perfect God is with us when we are serving him. He told Adam in a perfect world to keep my word. He's telling us in not so perfect world, but the same thing. Keep my word. We don't need to change this world, but we have to only keep God's word, which is preaching and sharing God's word to others. That's it. I cannot, and no one can, solve all the problems. There is no such a power. I cannot go to Iran and make a revolution. It's not my job. I can only pray. I cannot fight polices in Iran or anywhere else. That's not my job. I cannot solve conspiracy theories if it's right or wrong. That's not my job. The Great Commission is something else. I don't have anything to offer for the world's peace because this world cannot have peace without God at all. And that's the key. But I can talk about God. I can share the message of salvation, the gospel message. It's the full cycle. He is giving us a glorified body when we see him. But for now, in this not so perfect body, which is stinky sometimes, most of the time, I can talk about God's word. And that's it. And that's what I did with that sister of us in Iran. And she said, amen. I don't know where she is. We can pray for her and for other brothers and sisters. But it's not time to be emotional or be depressed. We can only pray and keep doing what God commanded us, not suggested. And I'm sure that she is doing the same thing in Iran. There are many great stories about our brothers and sisters who live inside Iran, inside that dark, dark country, that you can lose your life for talking about gospel message. But they are not stopping. They are not stopping. And I'm not afraid of saying this, that we have already a church inside Iran. Praise God. We have a good functioning church inside Iran by the grace of God. When he said in Matthew 28, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Is there anyone more powerful than Jesus? No. No. So the government of Iran, or all the governments of this world, if they get together to ban this book, they cannot do that. So if we want Jesus be in our life, if we want to have his power, we have to keep his commandment. It's very easy. We don't have to solve all the problems, but we have to keep his commandment. Let's pray.